Hello, Doug Brown joining Brendan Stone today on Unusual Sources on CFMU McMaster Radio 93.3 FM. Well, you know, over the last few years, we've been doing a number of interviews about the situation with foreign migrant farm workers in Ontario and indeed across Canada. And, we have thousands of migrant farm workers in Ontario. They have tough jobs. They work for minimum wage. They have no security. They have to go home after 8 months. They're a long time away from families. It's dangerous work, hard work. And they don't get like unemployment insurance. They don't get benefits that we just take for granted. And they cannot emigrate or even get a regular regular status resident. So the workers themselves and supporters and the union movement has been trying to do something about it. So there's a something going on right now. The Freedom Harvest caravan. It's a caravan involving many workers and their supporters, and it's going all the way from Leamington to Ottawa over the next few weeks. And they're already underway. They began a few days ago. Right now, I believe they're in the Chatham area. So we're lucky to get hold of one of the farm workers and organizer, Gabriel Aladois. Gabriel, are you there?
Yes. Hi, Gabriel. Thank you for this opportunity.
Oh, well, thank you for joining us. It must be very, very busy. And in this hot weather, you're going a long way and you've got a long way to go. But you're used to it. I know you and other migrant workers work very hard physical jobs, and this is a pretty tough life. But let's get back to maybe we can begin with you personally. You're besides being one of the organizers, you are also a migrant worker. Can you tell us a little bit about your own experience?
Okay, I need to start up a couple of years ago in St. Lucia, in my country, in St. Lucia. In 1986, when I was in secondary school, I was on the verge of leaving school at the age of 15 without completing a full secondary education. And miraculously, in 1986, I was able to complete a full secondary education thanks to the government and people of Canada who fully financed the construction of a secondary school. So from 1986, Canada played a really important role in my life, giving me a chance to complete a full secondary education. In 2009, I was self-employed, and exactly 1 year after I became self-employed, at that time being self-employed, my business was diversified into five different economic activities. I felt so confident, so comfortable that my income base is diversified. And even though one is affected, I still have I'll be able to live a decent life. But just one hurricane in 2010 wiped away everything. I became unemployed, and with a family to support, being unemployed, that was like the lowest point in my life. And the opportunity to work in Canada really, really presented itself, but I'm really, really happy and thankful for these two great opportunities. However, I need to say, whilst at secondary school, most of the subjects I studied, agriculture, social studies, geography, most of these subjects, you cannot study this subject if you don't compare statistics, world events to Canada. And Canada leads, Canada has high standards, and Canada dominates, in these subject areas that I studied at school. And, when I got the opportunity to come to Canada, I had really high expectations because I know Canada pride itself as a place of, a safe place of refuge, a place of diversity and human rights is guaranteed to all. But when I got here, reality really, really, when my high expectations, when it met with reality, it really changed everything. And to be honest, it's a really, really, really difficult situation that farm workers experience in Canada. And there are lots of challenges that we face, and these are things I call the dark sides of Canada, and they're pretty numerous. I have a list of them. There must be like 20 of them, and I call them the dark sides of Canada. And just a few of them: on the farm where I work, I had to share a standard bedroom with 8 guys. There was no privacy. In the house where we live, it was 62 of us. We only had 3 stoves with 13 burners. And getting to the stove was really a challenge, and it meant that my day had to start at 5 in the morning just to get to the stove. 62 guys and 1 television, you know what does that mean. So just the living condition was really, really difficult, and housing is one of the many challenges that we face.
Well, you know, I can hardly imagine 8 people in one bedroom.
8 people in one bedroom. And I've seen worse than that. There are some farms I've seen 14 guys to one bedroom. The housing is really, we live in housing, substandard housing. It is crowded. There's lots of challenges when it comes to housing, and they're not regulated. That's the other thing. The whole program places us into a really vulnerable and precarious position. And we have very little limited rights. And that is why that caravan is really important. And because the moment you speak up for better conditions, we're so vulnerable that they deport us back home. So just the threat of deportation keeps the farm workers muzzled. We have to keep quiet, put up with it, or then go back home. So that is why it is not surprising that the average Canadian does not know that these conditions, I call them 18th century working conditions, they exist right here in Canada, but the average person does not know. And I want the general public to know that each and every fruit and vegetable that they eat, behind it, there's injustice. And I want them to think about that. And that is why we have the caravan, to highlight these issues to the general public. Let them know that right within Canada, a place that prides itself on fairness, equality, you know, diversity, and so on, there's a sector in our society that have no say and that are being treated unfairly. However, we are confident that the laws and the practices that have us in this condition, these laws and practices were created by people, and it can be changed by people. And the caravan is seeking to, you know, to get to build alliances, to create awareness, and to build solidarity to create the change that we want. Because only through solidarity we can create the pressure to have the politicians to act to bring about those meaningful change that we want. And the meaningful change that we want is just fairness and equality. That's all we ask for.
Right. And even though I'm somewhat familiar with the issue, having done a number of interviews on this, I mean, it takes my breath away to think that there's 62 people in a house, 8 in a bedroom. That's really intolerable.
It is a very, very, very challenging, just to you know, the housing alone is a real challenge, because when there's no privacy, I personally had to use earplugs to cut myself off. There's no privacy. And, you know, the nature of the work that we do is very physical. It is really hard work, and we work really long hours. So getting getting a rest is really, really important to me, to everybody. But to cut off myself, to get that kind of rest that I need. And again, my day starts at 5 in the morning, so I have to use earplugs. So that, you know, there are lots of challenges. And to make it worse, you know, on the farm where I work, there was no internet where we could communicate with our families. So it's like we were fighting two wars at the same time. Living in difficult conditions, and at the same time, you cannot communicate as freely with your family. So you worry about what is happening in your country, you know. So it's like fighting two wars at the same time, and that is not an easy challenge for anybody.
No, and you know, far... just the nature of being in the countryside. What if you had to go to the store or get some services normally that you'd have to go to town for? I see a lot of people in the area north of Hamilton, that are biking, and it looks like they're biking a long way to get somewhere. What's involved, you know, like if you want to just, you know, say get some groceries or something, what do you have to do?
Okay, you see, because of the nature of the program, we have a tied work permit. It ties us to that farm. We are tied to that farm. So because of the nature of our work permit, because of the nature of the conditions, the farmer on a weekend, like usually on a Friday, they will provide transportation to take us to the shopping center where we can, you know, buy our supplies for the week. So religiously, on a Friday, they would take the farm workers to shopping on a Friday. However, during the summertime, like right now, the fact that we have long daylight, the sun sets really late, it's an opportunity for some guys to use the bicycle to buy things that they might be missing, or sometimes to go and buy phone cards just to call the family. In my case, I'm so lucky that the good people that are in the churches in Leamington where I work, that they would religiously pick us up and always call us to find out whether we need any supplies. In Leamington where I work, quite a few farms are kind of located very close to the city, to the town. So bicycling would be easy to get there. Some of us are fortunate to have friends from churches, but some of the farms, like in the area where you mentioned, they are really, really far. And it's like you're cut off from the world. But on a Friday, the transportation is provided to get supplies. But you have to plan really, really properly, because if you do not buy the supplies that you need for the week, it means that, you know, you have a tough time to you have to wait till next Friday to get the things that you're missing.
Wow. Okay. Well, just remind our listeners, you're listening to CFMU, Unusual Sources, and we're talking to Gabriel Aladois. He's a migrant worker. You work in the Leamington area, I believe.
Yes.
And you've been doing this for, what, 4 years?
Yes, 4 years now, yes. As I said, from the time I landed in Canada, the high expectations I had, it doesn't take long. As soon as you land in Canada, you can see that reality, being a migrant farm worker, the reality hits you right there and then. And you can see, what is strange, in a country that prides itself on fairness and human rights being guaranteed to all, it prides itself on diversity, and yet still we have been muzzled. We cannot speak up. So from day one, I always wanted to speak up and create better conditions, because the conditions are difficult and the work is difficult. However, with better conditions, it is surely makes your life better. The program as it is, it does not allow you to bring your family. So look at that. You're fighting a difficult battle, and the people that matter most to you, the people that you'd like to stand in your corner to be, the people like you like to share the best things in life with, they're not with you. So with these things, it really pushed me to fight and to mobilize to bring change that would bring equality and fairness to the farm workers.
Right, and you've got to be away from your family for a long time each year, because it's a long season.
Certainly, it's a long season. To me, 8 months is like a year. Every time I return home, I have teenagers, and the rate at which teenagers grow is really fast. Every time I go home, I have to keep looking up, because the change on them is so dramatic to me. Mm. And look at that. For example, my son just started college, and in 2 months' time, he quit school. And that is one of the challenges of the program. He quit school. How do I manage with that being so far away? Now, somebody quitting school, is that the formula for success, for a better society? Or isn't that a formula that would perpetuate, poverty and social ills in society? And these are some of the hardships that we face as a result of the program. It does not allow you to bring your family, and it really breaks down your family. That is why we are fighting for better conditions, because the conditions here are so difficult. But to me, the worst thing about the conditions here is our inability to bring our family. No matter how difficult life is, but you know that with your family by you, you're willing to go through any situation for their betterment. And that is why one of the key things that we're really fighting for, to have our families with us.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm glad that you and your co-workers and other supporters are taking this fight right to Ottawa. Maybe you can talk about the tour or the caravan a bit. So you left. You started from Leamington. And
yep.
And I think there was a reason for that, because Leamington, they call themselves the tomato capital of Canada, but there's a lot of migrant farm workers in that area, isn't there?
Oh, certainly. As you know, as you said, right, you said, that's the tomato capital, lots of greenhouses. So it's a labor-intensive form of, the production is labor-intensive. So the population of migrant farm workers in that area is pretty high. Also, it was, I think I can say quite confidently that it was there that the movement Justice for Migrant Workers, it was there that it really took root. And it's a very symbolic place for us to start the caravan. And again, a significant milestone have been achieved from Leamington, where there was a significant court matter, and the people there, the Thai workers, the migrant workers, they marched from Leamington all the way to Windsor, and significant changes came about as a result of that. So Leamington is pretty significant to us. So we started off on Saturday by meeting some of the workers there and allies. Then we joined with Labor Day activities in Windsor, and we were able to celebrate. And that's another important event. On Labor Day, we were able to celebrate with all the sister unions in the Windsor area to celebrate the great milestones that they've achieved, in the labor movement, the better working conditions and so on they've been able to achieve. This is a great milestone. That's a great time to celebrate. But at the same time, it's so sad that the people who have been affected, who have to work under really difficult conditions, they cannot even take part in it. They have to work that day. They cannot even take part in it. And they don't even have a reason to celebrate. Rather, it was an opportunity for us to try to form alliances with these people, to fight with us, to bring about the change that hopefully by next year we can join, everybody can join up and have good reasons to celebrate for better working conditions. But presently, we are in Chatham, and we've had several activities, like this morning we had the farmers market. We had different activities, and we're just about to go to another function which starts at 5:30 thereabouts, where we'll be having a dinner and with some workers and some allies and some community members. And at 7, we'll be having a movie which is called Migrant Dreams. That's a great movie, new movie which seeks to highlight a lot of the conditions that exist in Canada. That movie was most of the filming was done in Leamington, so people can look out to that to see the conditions that do exist right here in Canada. And the important thing is not just become aware, but there are so many little things that each and everybody can do to create change, to bring fairness and equality for all workers in Canada.
Right, and we talk about workers and Labor Day and unions, and unions have been our main mechanism of improving working conditions for all workers. But in Ontario, and I think people don't realize this, Ontario is the only place in Canada where they actually have a law that prevents agricultural workers from unionizing and organizing. So, it's a terrible state of affairs. I find it almost unbelievable that Ontario can be the only jurisdiction in Canada that makes it illegal for farm workers to organize. It's a basic human right, and it's something that Ontario has to change. Now, from Chatham, you head northeast. Tomorrow, just looking at the schedule online, you're going to be in Blenheim.
Yes.
And then London, Tilsonburg, zipping along, the days go by.
Yes, right.
Wow.
Yes.
The weather's going to cool off in a few days. This must be brutal in this heat. Looking way ahead, you make it into our area in about 10 days. You hit Woodstock and then Guelph on September 17th.
Mm-hmm.
Kitchener-Waterloo on the 19th. Kitchener again on the 20th. St. Catharines and Beamsville on the 21st and 22nd.
Yes.
And then you're going to get to Hamilton. And
yes.
Personally, I'm very much looking forward to that because I know the local group here has some very good activities planned. That there's going to be a great event on that Friday evening on the 23rd.
Yes.
And we've got great entertainment lined up. Bunt Lee Reed, Mother Tereka. And it's a fundraiser and social for the Freedom Caravan. So we're going to keep announcing this over the next few weeks, but I encourage our local listeners to come and support this event. It's going to be at the New Vision United Church that is right downtown, almost opposite City Hall. A great place to have an event. Transit goes right by there. There's easy parking. And so, again, it's a pay what you can event, and we encourage our listeners to come out and support the cause. And then I think the next morning you're going to be at the Hamilton Farmers Market.
Yes.
Yeah. So those are the two local events. Getting back to the way the government, both federal and provincial, treat migrant farm workers. You know, one of the basic things is, and I remember Stan Raper telling me that there was somebody. I think he just retired. He'd been 40 years in a row on the program. The program is 50 years old now.
Yes,
and you know he can never become a Canadian. This is. You know, just mind-boggling that, somebody has worked in Canada for all that length of time and there's no pathway to becoming a Canadian. But the other thing is, you know, you can't even get sort of a resident status, so you could be entitled to basic services.
Well, that is the issue, right? Becoming a citizen is not an issue for us. The issue is equality, fairness, and that is the point. We spend all our working life in Canada. It's like we're spending more time in Canada than in our home country.
Right.
And not only that, under really difficult conditions, and that is what we're asking for. We're asking for better conditions. That we imagine, would you believe, from 1966 we've been contributing to EI.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until 2003 we started accessing just one benefit out of four benefits from EI. And a couple of years ago, that one benefit we were receiving, it was revised downwards to the extent that whatever we're getting right now is next to nothing. You understand? So you can see that the conditions are not getting better for us. And that is what we're fighting for equality, for fairness. That is all we're asking for. Look at that. Even though the academics are pointing it out in so many reports, that is just one example. The most critical factor driving workers' precariousness and exploitation is migrant workers' temporary immigration status. That is the nooks and the crooks of the whole thing. That is what is placing us in that difficult, vulnerable situation that we've been exploited, and that is what we're highlighting, and that is what we are seeking to address, and again, as I said, it's through mass mobilization, through building solidarity, then we can bring about the change, you know, that we are desiring.
Yeah. So. Well, you know, this is just basic human rights as far as I'm concerned.
Basic human rights, yeah.
Right, yeah. So it really, you know, you mentioned that this is a blot on Canada, and it truly is that, allow this to continue for 50 years. Overcrowding, lack of basic services, you pay into employment insurance, but you don't get most of the benefits back from it. So it's almost like an extra tax on you.
Exactly. And our inability, or it's illegal for us to unionize. All of this, I tell you, we have a long list of issues. And again, the fact that we are tied to one employer, we're tied to it, and that employer controls our housing, and the housing is overcrowded and unregulated, and we have a contract that is not enforceable. Just these three little things makes us vulnerable, precarious, and then we are being exploited. And if you look at on the government's end, I just told you the issue of EI. Instead of they making it accessible to us, the review is making it even more difficult. If you look at the temporary foreign workers program that is being reviewed, but the word review, the politicians use the word review. The word review gives the public the impression that all the stakeholders will be consulted, and the best decision, the best way forward will be crafted. But look at the manner in which it's been done. One, we the workers who have been impacted by the program, we are not invited, we are not part of it. Number two, it's not been televised or broadcast over the radio, so you don't know what's happening. And number three, the subcommittee that's looking into it, they have a very limited time to look into that. So what is that? Isn't that just formality? Do we expect anything good to come out of that? Is that Canada? Is that fairness?
No,
but I need to say to the listening public that being aware is just one thing. Doing nothing about it is doing something. If we do nothing about it, it means that we're telling the system that everything is okay and we encourage it. And doing nothing means that we encourage things like TPP and other neoliberal policies, which will just do what all these policies do. They only seek to guarantee profit over workers. They would just guarantee that working conditions would deteriorate and the wages would go down. Is that what Canada wants? I don't think that that's the kind of Canada that preaches and prides itself on equality, fairness, and a decent living conditions for its residents and its citizens.
Right. Yeah. So, and I think that's a good point to wind up on. You know that it's important that we not continue to do nothing about this terrible situation. That it must change, and so I encourage people to support the Freedom
Caravan,
and then especially when it reaches our area on September 23rd, come on out to the event at New Vision United Church. That's in the evening at 7 p.m. Great entertainment. You'll meet the people in the caravan, and there'll be food and great music. So anyways, we better wrap that up. You've got an event to get to shortly. So thank you again very much, Gabriel, and I look forward to meeting you here in Hamilton when you arrive on the 23rd.
Thank you for this great opportunity, and I hope everything works out well. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Gabriel. And that was Gabriel Eladois. He's a migrant worker. He works in the Leamington area. He's been doing that for 4 years, but he's also one of the organizers of the Agricultural Workers Caravan that is making its way from Leamington to Ottawa over the month, and will be here in Hamilton on September 23rd. So hang on, we're going to take a short break, but we'll be back with more program on Unusual Sources.